السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Respected brothers and elders, a discussion with one alim of our town, and the outcome of the discussion became the fruit of what I wish to present before you today. We live in a time where people have described it as the information age. People have described it as, you know, the information explosion. Access to information is so easy with the all types of media that different types of media that is available to us, whether it's still from the newspaper or a magazine, but even more easily available is via a person's cell phone, social media, websites, and over the radio stations and other media like television, etc. So people are exposed to lots of types or lots of sources of information. This also, if we look at our current times and we look at the challenges that are facing the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we look at the challenges that are facing the world at large, we see that with the availability of this information comes the responsibility of how to use this information, how to benefit from it, how to use it, how to decide what we are going to practice on or how we are going to lead our life based on this information. Whether it may be in our religious circles, whether it may be in our social circles, political circles, maybe even in our business. In all of these circles, we have access to information. And dependent on our attitude and the way we manage this information, results in how our actions, it has an effect on how our actions would be with regards to this information. So it might not be making too much of sense now, but inshallah, we'll try in this few minutes to discuss a few aspects regarding it. So, if information comes to us, and today we're not planning to talk about any particular incident or any particular example of this, it's more to understand what does Deen show us, what is the guiding light, What has Deen provided as a guidance with regards to how to deal with information. So, this ayat of Quran Sharif, I need to do some investigation into this topic. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. It's a long ayat, so we'll try and go through it slowly. When, from, with regarding khawf or peace, so they just spread it, right? So this is meaning when some news, when some information comes to a person, whether it's about something that's good, whether it's about something that's bad, something that's harmful, or something that's beneficial, the people, they just spread it. And then Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And if they had taken this, if they had referred this information that they had received back to the Rasul of Allah, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to those amongst them that have authority, they have knowledge over a certain field, then they definitely would have understood, they would have known, they would have got to the bottom of it, they would have got to the bottom of this information and they would have understood it. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And then Allah Ta'ala says that if His grace and mercy is not upon someone, then people will follow shaitan, except for a few. So let's try and unpack this slowly to bring it closer to home. So if something comes to us, in whichever form, we witness something we heard something over the radio station, those people that are seeing something over the news maybe, or they're watching something over a television screen, or person is receiving something on his phone via social media, WhatsApp, or he's perusing the internet and he comes across some websites and he sees certain information. So his job is not to just spread this information. The ayat is teaching us that how this information should be handled. It should first be referred to the Nabi of Allah. Now the Nabi of Allah, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not amongst us. So what does this mean? We refer it back to the Quran, we refer it back to the Sunnah. And in our zamana, for us to do that as laymen, as people who don't have knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, is to talk to the ulama, to ask them what it means. And this especially when the matter of information that is being brought before us is regarding something regarding our deen. And then the ayat continues, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ, and with this information that you received, you should refer it to those people who have authority over you. So what does this mean? So the commentators of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala give them jazaa khair, they have so many verses, so they have expounded on just one verse, so many volumes have been written. So just to give you a summary of all the statements, is that this people of authority over us can refer to officials, it can refer to government, it can refer to a person who is knowledgeable in that field. So if we are talking about construction, then engineers, builders. If we are talking about food, then somebody who is a food technologist. If we are talking about something that is in the medical field, then those people that are authorities, doctors, specialist doctors that are an authority in that field. So the Quran is showing us that this is how you deal with this information. You don't just spread it. You first verify this information either to the Quran and the Sunnah, especially if it is regarding your religious affairs, and if it's regarding other affairs, all other affairs are included in it, whether it may be of a medical nature, a legal nature, a health nature, food related nature. So we then go to those people who have knowledge regarding that field. And there's a great safety for us in this. Because Allah Ta'ala then says afterwards, that if His mercy and grace is not upon someone, and the Mufassirun, they have given this explanation of why this Allah Ta'ala talks about His mercy and His grace immediately after discussing those people who would have made some tahqiq, we say they went and investigated this information that they got with the relevant people of knowledge, as I explained already, that they would have got to the understanding of it. They would have got to the bottom of it. This word in Arabic, just for my own, to better my own understanding and just to share it with you also, this word is used, yastam, istimbat, means to take the water out of the well, the deep recesses of the well. So the person got to the bottom of the matter. He didn't just look at what was sent to him. He didn't just read the article in a superficial way. He got to the bottom of the matter. And then this Allah Ta'ala is saying that it is a mercy. It is a grace from Allah Ta'ala. It is a mercy upon him. And it will prevent him from following shaitan. Following shaitan, except for a few. There will be an exception. There will be some exceptions. Why following shaitan? Because if we practice on some information that we received without verifying the veracity of it, whether it's correct, not correct, that's the correct understanding, we may lead to take up certain actions that will be detrimental to our spiritual life and our dunyavi life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع أو كما قال, that it suffices for a person that he spreads whatever he hears that he be called a liar. Listen to this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It suffices for that person. That means if you find somebody, or if we should actually analyze ourselves, we mustn't look, when we listen to the ayat of Quran Sharif and ahadith, we mustn't have our gaze on somebody else and what they are doing. We must look at ourselves and have I got this in my life? Is this, as one pious person used to say, am I in this hadith or is this hadith about me? Am I in this hadith? Is this warning in this hadith about me? Is my name, is it referring to something in me? So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, it suffices for a person to call him a liar if he passes on anything that he hears. Imagine, from the hadith we learn a few things, that we will hear things in our life that's not true. It's obvious. We will learn things, or people will give us messages, or information will come to us that's false. Right, we're not always going to hear the truth. And if we just take it and we pass it on to the next person, whatever we hear, we don't investigate, we don't check it up whether it's authentic, what is the impact of me passing on this information, if we just pass it on, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it suffices for that person to be called a liar. Imagine Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Allah Ta'ala save me first, and save you and the entire ummah from falling into the ambit of this hadith. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever relates something he thinks is a liar, and then too, he is one of the two liars. In other words, he receives something which he thinks may be false, right? And then he passed it on. So he is one of the two liars. Basically the person who passed on who mentioned the false information, and he who passed it on is also a liar. Allah Ta'ala save us from falling into this trap. There are things that are happening in all these spheres of our life. There are challenges that are facing the ummah currently. And if you analyze these challenges, without going into examples, if you analyze these challenges, many, many times, this just because information is not understood, false information is passed on, people are given a misunderstanding about what is the circumstances around that situation, and this leads to calling people names, belittling people, causing taklif to others, inconveniencing others. In the past, When a person wanted to disseminate some information, so he had to print a newspaper maybe, so he had to make up a whole printing press, and he may have had some editors. You get obviously propaganda also, somebody who is intending to do wrong, but I'm saying it took some time to disseminate that information. Print the newspapers, disseminate it, or he had to go on to some radio station, he had to get a slot. They don't just let anybody walk, knock on the door there and give them a slot to say something. Or he has to put up a website. Nowadays it's a lot easier, but in the past, a person took some time to put a website together to disseminate information. But now, even a small youngster from his phone, he can just pass on something. The power of the phone means that he can disseminate information in a split second. He doesn't require a lot of funds to do it. This ease of which we have got to receive and disseminate information comes with a responsibility. And Islam has shown us guidance. The world are talking about, countries around the world, governments, private organizations, even in the Muslim community, but I'm not trying to make it that those matters are more important. I'm just trying to show you that the entire world is suffering from this sickness of misinformation and misunderstandings and unverified information being passed on. I met one person who's in the food field not too long ago. I know one person in the food field. He mentioned to me that one person came to his place, and it's a simple example, but just to give you an understanding, one person came to his place and said that this milk that we are buying from the shops is made from milk powder. So the milk that comes in the bottle, they take powder and they add water to it and they make the milk up, they fill it in the bottles and it goes to all the supermarkets. That's why when we are having this milk from the supermarkets, the milk is not benefiting us. It's not pure milk. So somebody who, that person was in the food field, so he responded. He said, see, the statement of yours in itself has got a problem. That from my experience, it's not financially viable for somebody to take fresh milk, make it into powder first, and then reconvert it back into, you know, a liquid form to sell it. It doesn't make financial sense. And I have visited a couple of factories where I have done audits, this person is saying, and I've seen them packing fresh milk. So this person got a shock. He said, no, I thought this was true. I received it in a message. Person had all the references and something from some article in the web, didn't check anything. You passed it on to other people? He said, yes, I passed it on. So now if there's some person who's got some health problem, and they are being told that they're only supposed to have fresh milk. I'm just giving you an example. And this person receives this notice. So now he had milk, right, which was costing him X amount of rands now in the shop. And he says, no, he has to get the milk from the farm because this milk here is not fresh and it's made from powder, etc. Now that that leaf he goes to go to the farm, he's paying an extra price. Who is responsible for this whole action of his? Who is responsible for the taklif that this person went through? I chose a very simple example because I don't want to get into anything that is current. I just want to try and drive home the point that who is responsible for this action, this course of action that this person took? Who is responsible for it? The person who passes on the information that is unverified. If a person comes to your home, he's not an engineer, and now you're telling me you want to build another floor on your house. And you're trying to work out how many pillars to put. So he tells you, hey, you know what? So it costs a lot of money to put these concrete pillars. Man, just count there, right? Just put 5 pillars. How many people are going to stay on top? No, maybe about 20 people are going to stay on the next floor. Will we just build that floor without taking one person's view who has got no experience in engineering, etc., and then put our family and or our guests on the next floor that's built without calculating properly how many pillars? We would have to consult an engineer. We will have to check with somebody. We can't just take that information and practice on it. Believers were supposed to be the bastions of leave alone their own deeni knowledge. They were supposed to be the experts in every field, Muslims. Experts in every field. And they were supposed to be reliable. That whatever you see in their life, it is based on something that is concrete. Not something that is fictitious. Not something that we can't find the evidence for it. Just hearsay. You ask somebody, why are you practicing on this? No, I heard somebody telling me that. You know, this person is authority on that field. Did you check up? Is it a correct thing? Not a correct thing? No. We don't make decisions like that when it affects our dunya. But if a person is told that don't worry, don't submit anything to SARS, for example, and you know what, you can do it like this, do it like that. You ask him, but you're a tax specialist? He said, no, I'm just telling you how to save money. But would somebody take a risk on the whole business that SARS will come and find out that it's not in order? Will a person go into a legal matter, into a court case, he takes somebody with him and ask him, what's your specialty? No, I'll help you in the case. You know anything about law? No, I don't know anything. But I can tell you how we can negotiate out of this case. Why we don't do that in our dunyavi matters? We don't. I'm giving this advice to myself and I'm sharing this advice with you. That, brothers, let's take information that we receive seriously. Let's take what we receive and verify the information with the relevant people. If it's something in the religious field, in our dini tabqa, in our dini circles, let's ask the ulama-i kiram. Let's find out from them what is required, what is the understanding of this. And if it's something that is also involves some dunyavi matters, then let's consult with those people who are knowledgeable in that field. Obviously, if we've got some reason to doubt a certain grouping or a certain person, that's a different topic altogether. But we need to be an ummah that practices upon that which is concrete, which is proven, which is established, not hearsay. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, give you the tawfiq to practice on what has been said in accordance with His pleasure. That Allah Ta'ala save us from the harms. Brothers, there's such harms. People are being disrespected. People are losing money because they are practicing on information that is not verified. People are damaging their health because they are practicing on information that is not verified. The deen and the dunya is being affected. So let us be sensible, let us be careful. Let us not get involved in sensationalism. We have seen the effects, especially in our province also, of effects of information that has been passed around that was unverified, etc. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala guide the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala make the teachings of Islam, make us practice on the teachings of Islam in such a way that we become a guidance for others also to accept this beautiful deen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا أيها الناس أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون ويقول الله عز وجل وإذا جاءهم أمر به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وبقوله يهتدي المهتدون وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حيان عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر للعباس ولدي مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوا مرضا من بعدي من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغض أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال تعالى: فاذكروني أشكركم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون.
محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي فجعله غثاء قارئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
Mm-hmm.